Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Emily Scarlett. Nearly 9 years of war, tens of thousands of casualties, including 4,500 American dead, and more than $800 million spent, the U.S. military today formally ending its mission in Iraq. Andrew Basevich, a West Point graduate, Vietnam combat veteran, and retired Army colonel, now a professor at Boston University, has written 6 books, 2 of them bestsellers, Washington Rules in 2010 and The Limits of Power in 2008. And he joins me now to talk about our involvement in Iraq. Andrew, thank you for joining me.
Glad to be with you.
Now, your own son served in Iraq and was killed there in 2007, so you've got the type of personal connection that thousands of other Americans do to this war. What are your feelings about the war as our engagement in Iraq officially comes to an end?
Well, it's my deep hope, although I think it's a hope that will not be fulfilled. It's my deep hope that Americans will learn something from this unnecessary war that turned into such a costly policy failure. My sense is that most Americans are keen to forget about the Iraq War as quickly as possible, and that there's little reflection either among ordinary citizens, little inclination among ordinary citizens or among political leaders to reflect on the entire episode.
Well, we certainly have intervened in Iraq previously. President George Bush's father did so, but with basically no casualties. It was a quick in and out. Do you think that once we got involved as deeply as we did this time around, that there was no way to easily extract ourselves?
Well, you know, I think that we should talk a little bit about Operation Desert Storm, the first war with Iraq back in 1991. Because I think that the perception that that was a cheap and easy success needs to be challenged. I think we should put this latter-day Iraq war, the one that's just ending now, at least the U.S. part's ending, in a much broader context, probably going all the way back to Jimmy Carter's promulgation of the so-called Carter Doctrine in January of 1980. And what I mean by that is that the Carter Doctrine, declaring that the Persian Gulf was a vital U.S. national security interest, and Carter explicitly saying that we would use all means necessary to ensure nobody else could control the place, really set us down a path in which we have been attempting since then, really, to employ U.S. military power to ensure that we control the place. And that project, going on for 30-some years now, has been exceedingly costly. The casualties and the treasure spent on the current Iraq War only being one example. And when you think about what we've achieved over the course of those 30 years, it ain't much.
So the assertion by some that this had nothing to do with Saddam or weapons of mass destruction, but this was a war about oil, is that...
Well, it was about oil, not in the immediate sense that President Bush sat around the Oval Office saying, you know, hey, Dick, hey, Don, let's go invade that country and grab their oil. But yes, it's about oil in the sense that were it not for our dependence on oil, were it not for the fact that so large a proportion of the world's oil supplies are in the Persian Gulf, we wouldn't care a fig about that part of the world. We wouldn't care any more about Iraq than we care about Uruguay, were it not for the fact that there's oil in Iraq. So in that broadest sense, it's about oil. And frankly, to the extent that our way of life is dependent upon plentiful supplies of cheap oil, to some degree, it really was a war about trying to preserve the American way of life. My own view would be that the American way of life probably deserves a bit of critical examination, especially if part of the cost of preserving the American way of life is to be engaged in constant and fruitless wars on the other side of the planet.
I'm talking to Andrew Basevich. He's a professor at Boston University, a West Point graduate, Vietnam combat veteran, and retired Army colonel. His own son served in Iraq and was killed in 2007. In terms of our involvement there, the almost nine years, was there a point where we could have gotten out earlier, or were we essentially stuck there, where our military forces really unable to leave?
We could have got out at any time. That said, getting out would have been a messy circumstance. And there's simply no denying that. I mean, to some degree, the premise of your question is certainly correct. Once we plunged into this maelstrom, once we destabilized Iraq, there was no easy way to extricate ourselves. And I suppose the people who have insisted on staying the course, as they say, can claim a certain vindication, at least today, that we are leaving with some semblance of stability behind us. Whether or not they will be able to sustain that claim 6 months from now or a year from now very much remains to be seen. Anybody who thinks that we have put in place a legitimate, fully functioning democratic government that commands the loyalty of the Iraqi people is kidding themselves.
In terms of what's ahead, is the Middle East and is Iraq better off now that we've been involved there than it would have been had we never gone to Iraq?
I think it's a complicated question, a difficult calculus. I mean, is the world better off that Saddam Hussein has met his maker? You bet. Is the world better off that in the course of achieving that, we have contributed to the deaths of probably well over 100,000 Iraqis? We've displaced a couple million. I guess I'll let God sort of render a judgment on that, but it's not self-evident that Iraq is better off. And frankly, to the extent that the region may be better off, it's not as a consequence of anything we did. Frankly, far more important than our intervention in Iraq in terms of determining the future course of history in that region is the event, the series of events we call the Arab Spring. And we didn't cause the Arab Spring. We're not directing the Arab Spring. We didn't inspire the Arab Spring. The Arab Spring is about people who live in that part of the world deciding that they're going to exercise their right to self-determination. And what is the outcome of that process very much remains to be seen.
What about Iran? Us leaving, does that not leave the door open for them to now begin to exert more influence in Iraq, and could that lead to further problems?
Sure, it could. I don't go to bed at night worrying about Iran taking over the world, as some people seem to. But the traditional mechanism for trying to maintain some sort of balance of power within the Persian Gulf was to have a relatively strong Iraq be able to check a relatively strong Iran. As a consequence of our war there, we now have rendered Iraq into a very weak state, and that certainly works to the advantage of Iran.
In terms of our military, has it learned something from our involvement? We were facing IEDs, guerrilla attacks, and there seemed to be a point where they began to kind of adapt to these types of attacks and find ways to avoid them a bit more. Is the military smarter now in terms of dealing with this in the future?
The military is smarter at being able to deal with the kind of irregular threat that we faced during the period of the insurgency. But whether that has any larger positive implications, I don't know. I suspect that there would be very limited appetite in the officer corps at the present moment to try it again, to invade some other country with the expectation that we can pacify the place and put in place some kind of a pro-Western government. It's been an exceedingly costly and I think disappointing escapade.
One last thing. When it comes to the American public, there certainly was a point where attention was no longer given to the war in Iraq. But initially, there were protests all over the world against initiating this attack. Do you think that Americans did everything they could to stop this action from being taken? Do you think our reaction will be different next time we face a similar situation?
I don't know. We're kind of circling back to where I began. I wish that we could say that we have learned important lessons as a people. It's not clear to me that we have. It's not clear to me that we have come to appreciate the very limited effectiveness of military power. President Obama himself, who of course ran for office opposing the Iraq War, has shown a remarkable appetite himself for expanding wars in places like Afghanistan and Pakistan, and an appetite for opening up new fronts in Libya and in Yemen. So I just, I wish we would learn something from this. I fear that we will not.
Andrew Bacevich, Vietnam combat veteran, retired Army colonel, now a professor at Boston University and an author of 6 books. Thank you very much for joining me, Andrew.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.